SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back and just about top of hour three on this Monday, and we started our appreciations of Rick Violette this morning with Alan Foreman and continued with Rich Migliori, kind of getting a off-the-track business perspective from Alan, and obviously Mig, associated riding winners for Rich, and reporting on them and discussing some business too, because even though Matt Hegarty covers most of the business for DRF, Dave Grenig had plenty of bylines when it came to stories involving the business of racing in New York involving Rick Violette. But mostly Dave undoubtedly enjoyed talking about the horses and the big opportunities that Rick capitalized on for really your whole tenure, Dave, in New York. Such a sad circumstance.
It is sad, even when you know it's inevitable. He's been sick for a while, a good, almost a month since he came back from the Kentucky sale. But yeah, it is sad when the moment you're informed of what happened. But you're happy or content to know that he's not suffering anymore. And he did. I'll tell you one thing. The thing I'm the most appreciative to him for is making those open NYRA board meetings a lot more entertaining than they would have been otherwise. Because you could see, even in an open setting, when most people are, most of those meetings that were conducted there were, everything was close to the vest. You could see he was always fighting for the horsemen, fighting for what he believed was right to make sure the horsemen and the breeders got their share. And, one of his lasting legacies will be that he got both the horsemen and the breeders a voting right on the NYRA board. And I know for a fact NYRA did not want that, but he fought for him. And he forged actually a better relationship. The horsemen had, I believe, a better relationship with legislators in Albany than I'd say even NYRA does. And that's, the efforts spearheaded by Rick and NYTHA is the primary reason why.
And I know exactly, part of the contributing portion of that, there's get-togethers, legislative briefings, and a couple of times a year in Albany, meet and greets. I've been to a couple at Andy Belfiore's invitation, and it gives legislators a chance to understand the needs and the interests and the importance. And Rick was able to communicate that with a real aplomb, Dave, when it came to any aspect of those jobs that he had, aside from training the horses. I mean, when it came to the interests of the backstretch employees, see what he did there. Whoever came into focus as a priority for him got
summer is one of
everything
the best.
About got everything that he possibly could deliver.
Yeah, I look at it this way: if you owned a horse, trained a horse, rode a horse, rubbed a horse, walked a horse, rode a race for a horse, wrote about a race horse race, or anything that had to do with it, you owe him a debt of gratitude. Because he did, he covered every, if you bet on a horse, you owe Rick Violette a debt of gratitude for making New York racing, a better, New York racing is better because Rick Violette was a part of it, and Rick Violette stood up for what was right in New York racing.
Talk, Dave, about dealing with him when it came to the horses and the targeting of stakes and the interaction at the barn with him.
Yeah, you know, Rick, because of what he was doing behind the scenes, he almost overshadows what, his training career was. I mean, I was talking about this with his assistant this morning, Melissa Cohen, who, backbone of that barn for so many years and obviously lately. That to get a horse like Diversify this long, late into his career was such a blessing for him because, it got to show, got to remind people that this guy was a really good, really good, successful horseman. Decade plus, read the footnotes, won the Fountain of Youth and was a player in the Derby. Seth Klarman, before he got big horses with Chad Brown, his big horses were with, Rick Violet. And he was just a darn good horseman, a unique, guy trains his horses in a unique fashion. Everyone breaks from the half-mile pole. He breaks from the 3.5 and gallops them out. If you were watching Rick Violet's horses train, you had to, pick up them at the right poles because he was a little bit unique in that manner. But had a good knowledge of his horses, where to place his horses. He was very good first time out. Sometimes you got a rap, because they would run so good first time out, and then the second time out they wouldn't run as good. But he was, those two-year-old races in the early part of the summer at Belmont, he won his fair share of them. Had some bad luck, too, with some of those horses getting hurt. But, he was a sharp horseman and a very astute horseman.
I was looking at any number of horses of his that I'm just reaching back for him here. There's a few that I kind of had forgotten about. And then, the ones that I had, some early interest or affection for, and that included Man from Wicklow was probably my favorite of his. But, he also had a couple of early winners, 2-year-olds that, maybe peaked early, and a couple that whose careers ended up getting cut short. And most recently, though, the runs that he put together with Samrat and Upstart, that assault that brought him to the Derby, I thought was notable, because you look up and down. I brought this up with Rich Migliori too, Dave. He had young horse success. He had older horse, steady developing success, turf, dirt, short, long. It he really could get any kind of horse to win.
I agree. He had a very talented female sprinter in Dream Rush, won the test in the Privis when they were all both grade ones at Belmont. He had a cool filly mare, Effie Trinket, who won.
Oh yeah!
She was a neat.
I forgot about her
on the grass. Even go back farther than that, he had a horse called Miss Huff and Puff, who was a stakes winner, who was a hard trying sort. And Citadine was one of his first good 3-year-olds,
yep.
I think.
Yep.
And won the Peter Pan. Some good sprinters. A horse like Clawback was a pretty good sprinter. He had some talented horses, and it was, Upstart. He did a very nice job with Upstart. Found a good spot in Oakland and won a race there. Samrat, Samrat was, an okay New York bred, but he got a lot out of that horse. I think we were at a board meeting when that horse ran. I don't know if the race was, I swear to God, it was an allowance race maybe, or with, I think it was Samrat that horse had run, that we were like, okay, when's this meeting over so we can find out how the horse did? He was, that's the thing. He had so much on his plate that off the, away from the barn that, he still, like Ralph Evans even said, I shared that, shared him for 25 years with the backstretch community. And he did, because, there'd be a time when Ralph wanted to get an update on his horse, and he'd be on a conference call trying to figure out, workman's comp issues or, race dates. Race dates have gone from 251 to, I think, 227 this year. 229, sorry, I'm looking at 229. But believe me, they might have already been lower if it wasn't for Rick Violet fighting for, savings, the winter product and what have you. So you know, he was balancing a lot of things and did them both, you know, as a horseman and a, you know, an executive, if you will, very well.
And you made me realize or think, you know, he really did have some early part of that early New York bred wider success. And you bring up Effie Trinket, which made me think of Gitche Gumee.
Yeah, I was just going to say, there's another one. And I don't know, I might be wrong, I'm probably wrong on this, was Nijinsky's Gold the New York bred?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
I wasn't sure. You know, but he
Louisiana. Louisiana bred, actually. Nijinsky's
okay.
Gold. Yeah. By Lotta Gold.
I think he had a horse called Rough Rogue who won the Alex Robb back in 1990. Just looking that up. And he won, I tell you, I'm looking at this thing, he won a lot of Yattos. Kate Winslet. he had a lot of New York friends. I'd say one of the saddest, that, you know, I don't know how good this horse could have been, but he had a horse called Spurious Precision who won the Saratoga about 6 years ago, and I remember that day that horse got hurt and he was forlorn that day. I mean, you know, horsemen are, you know, they come, I don't want to say numb, but they come, some of the, you know, you get a, you're in this game long enough, and you know that injuries are going to come. But when that horse got hurt, that one stuck with him, because I think he thought that horse had a lot of promise to you know, be something special.
You made me reach for the list of the New York breds, because I had been only looking at graded stake winners, but. There are so many others. Summer Doldrums.
Here's another New York that won the Yaddo 30 years ago. Tall Glass of Water. Tall Glass. I mean, this guy's probably won the Yaddo more times than Chad Brown won the Diana.
Tall Glass of Water. Yeah.
Tall Glass of Water.
Tricks in the City.
1985.
Unbelievable.
I mean, yeah. he probably helped. Yeah, I'm sure he helped the New York bred program. Believe me, and he was a big champion of the New York bred program. And I'd say if you have Jeff Canizzo on, I'm sure he'll, you know, he'll have glowing things to say about Rick's and, you know, role in helping the New York bred program take off. And then even an off the track stuff, the Take the Lead program, and the you know, best that, you know, he's fought for those programs to get them off the ground and get financing for them and get them moving in the right direction. He's just touched so many aspects of the game, of the industry. And I hope that even the people that like fought with him or, you know, tussled with him, I just hope that they don't let some of that stuff go by the wayside and the people that he did work with very well, you know, continue the fight. 'Cause I'm not sure how many people want to fight as long and hard as he did for the industry. I mean, there's things, as you know, take, you know, they crawl, you know, to get change done in this industry, it crawls. But he, you know, he saw a lot of things through that didn't just happen in a month or 3 months or 6 months. It took a long time. And you hope that the people that now do what he used to do, you know, have the stomach and the courage of their convictions to, you know, continue those long-winded fights.
Absolute. And in fact, Charlie Hayward will join us tomorrow, Dave. And I reached out to Charlie knowing that, you know, I keep coming back to this, you know, they had to work through the most difficult period in New York racing history. And Charlie said he absolutely wanted to pay tribute as well. And Joe Applebaum will be with us, and Pat Kelly, and probably some more riders, Jerry Bailey, won big races for Rick Violette as well. I mean, there's really no jock that didn't, going through these horses, there's almost no jock who didn't enjoy some largesse on that front. Ibar Koa won, he used Ibar extensively as well. Very, very, very tough here, and nobody was ready to say goodbye to Rick Violette.
No, it's like I said, it's a sad day. Even though, you know, some of us, I guess, knew a little bit more about what his condition was, so you were bracing for it, you're prepared for it. But even when you get to it, it's just not, it's not fun. And you know, guys, just a lot of it was just a tough day.
Very much. Well, Dave, we got to move forward toward Breeders' Cup, and you will head. You're obviously tracking a lot more works here the next couple of days before heading to Louisville.
Yeah, most of the very light day this morning. From a Savage Joy work this morning in Belmont with Javier Castro. How about Javier? Just a quick note. You know, 5,000 went on Saturday. Saturday night he flies to Kentucky. Sunday morning, he's working Catholic Boy and Trophy Chaser for one's in the Breeders' Cup, one's in, I think, the Street Sense. Comes back, rides races yesterday at Belmont, wins, I believe, the finale for Chad, I think, on Competition of Ideas, and is out this morning working Sadler's Joy. He's not sitting on his laurels, but that horse worked this morning. And most of the Chad Brown horses, I believe he's going to pre-enter 11. Nine of them worked yesterday. Sister Charlie's doing quite well. Newspaper record, I tell you. You know, I don't know if they'll ever think about it, but if they want to try dirt next year, she certainly trains well enough on the dirt to maybe consider it. But as someone said to me, she will never see the dirt. I said, okay, that's fair. But I'm just saying, if they want to try it one day, she certainly seems to work good enough on dirt. But this weekend, weather permitting, I guess will be the big day. I know there's a talk of a little coastal action. We always seem to get a coastal storm last weekend of October. And there's maybe one on the way, so that could interrupt some last-minute workouts. But this past weekend was sort of the big – yesterday and Saturday was sort of the bigger moves.
Well, and you can follow – go to the Breeders' Cup section at DRF, and Dave's got extensive coverage on that front, and, of course, is covering the juvenile, and we're looking at 12, 13, 14 horses, yes?
I have 13. I do not have any Euros penciled in yet. I'm not saying there aren't any. I just don't know who they might be. Sometimes they cross enter, but I believe my list is about 13. North American based runners, unless there's a surprise or two. But Game Winner obviously would be the favorite. Complexity and Code of Honor will probably be the second and third choices, unless I'm missing something.
Well, he's not going to make it from Philadelphia to Louisville. It's a little too late, but Butchie Reed has got a two-year-old from,
yes,
how about this, Maximus Mischief, for those that might not have seen it on Saturday, an Into Mischief, and is just stunning, a 98 buyer in an allowance win.
And wait till he learns what he's doing.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
It looked like he was looking at, hey, what's this place? So in the stretch. Now he's very promising, and for Butch Reed's sake, I hope that he continues to stay healthy. That horse continues to stay healthy and sound, and he can get into a couple big races early next year.
Yeah, and ideally put a padlock on the stall door.
Yeah, Dave. I'd be putting a cot right outside the door. If Vinny asks where I am, I'm just sleeping right outside the horse's stall. No one's getting in or out without me knowing about it.
I love it. Dave, I appreciate the thoughts on Rick's behalf, and many people join us this week to say how much they will miss Rick Violette and what he meant to them and to the industry and to New York racing. So we'll see you in Louisville.
Okay, Steve, thanks for having me.
I appreciate it. Dave Grenig, everybody. DRF Grenig. Let's take a break. We'll come back and run to Louisville ourselves with Rick Hammerly. Hammer standing by. He'll let you know how the whole pre-entry system works today. The names will be accrued. Cross entrance, there'll be quite a few, particularly the juveniles and those sprint one turn distances. We'll maybe pin down Chad Summers to two races. One of them is the classic. I don't see how he's not pre-entering the classic. We'll see about pre-entering the dirt mile or sprint, but I think we all know deep down that's where they're going to head to. I don't see why they wouldn't try the classic with them. So Hammer gives us some insights next, and John Hennigan, the wonderful filmmaker, he and his brother Brad, do such a great job, and today marks the start of the All In docuseries that's launching, and Breeders' Cup with John and Brad. We'll talk to him as well. Stay with us.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
The Breeders' Cup is just around the corner, and ExpressBet is your way to bet the top prep races from around the world. Santa Anita, Keeneland, Belmont, Woodbine, ExpressBet has them all. And not only can you get your bets in online or on your smartphone or tablet with ExpressBet, you can also watch the races from most tracks in crystal clear high definition. Ready to get started? Sign up for an ExpressBet account today to receive a $500 welcome bonus. That's $500 cash in your pocket that you can use to bet the Breeders' Cup. Visit ExpressBet.com to get started. Think you have what it takes to play in the Breeders' Cup Betting Challenge and win your share of $1 million in prizes? Then head to ExpressBet to register. The BCBC is the country's biggest live handicapping tournament with ExpressBet. You can get in on the action without leaving home. Don't have an ExpressBet account? No worries. Sign up today and receive up to a $500 welcome bonus. Check out ExpressBet.com to learn more. Must be 18 or older and 21 in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet LLC and reside in a state where such activity is legal. When we're prohibited, National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
There's more good news about Pennsylvania's breeding program. Last year, the number of state-bred live foals rose by nearly 30%. Many other states saw a drop of between 10 and 20%. This says that Pennsylvania truly has North America's fastest-growing and most lucrative breeding program. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Don't wake up promises, man. They can't be measured up enough. You weigh your hat so heavy. That's why you fumble when you walk. Yeah. If you want me to disappear.
We're back at the races, 20 minutes into hour three on this Monday, and we're appreciating Rick Violet and at the same time keeping tabs on everything that went on this weekend and into this Breeders' Cup pre-entry day. And Rick Hammerly and many others that will sit together and put together the fields for the Breeders' Cup, the pre-entry fields. They're assembled in Louisville, and Rick was on his way to the East Coast on Friday, and he enjoyed Maryland Million Day. I haven't had a chance to go through the Maryland Million results yet, but it looked like you were having a good time.
Yeah, you know, you threw me off with that intro. I wasn't quite sure I was up. Well,
can't always play Cal. You're not in California, so we're not playing California music.
I said that's perfect because you guys are on here. You guys see, you're not just not cookie cutter. You move at the time. But no, you're right. I was kind of making a little cross country run here, and it's been great so far. Started out, as you said, Laurel from Maryland Million Day on Saturday, and I had to look it up. I hadn't been back to Laurel in 24 years, but you wouldn't. I don't remember the place too much when I was there, but I'll tell you what, it's an eye opener now. Anybody near the area or hasn't been back there or hasn't run a horse there, go run a horse there and check it out. They've just done they've done wonders with the building, and still a lot more to come. So it was a great day, a beautiful day, a little rain in the morning, but the race has stayed on the turf, and it's just one of those fall days. I was expecting a little more color in the leaves, but they tell me it went from, as it can, as you know, went from summer to winter. There really wasn't a fall here. And the same thing here in Louisville. They said it was 80 2 weeks ago, and now it's in the 40s and 50s. So that's the way it goes. But, no, Maryland Million Day was really good. Full field. I know the handle was up, I think 25-30% over last year, and I think they had their biggest handle numbers since 2007, which is always a good thing. And the place was crowded and active, and you know, barbecues outside, and music was going on in the parking lot, and a lot of smiling faces. You know, the Maryland racing community is kind of an entity of its own, and they've always supported racing well in the past and kept things going, and they do support their big day, and everyone was out there. So I encourage everyone to go check out Laurel if they have the time. One of the improvements, well, they're getting ready for sports betting, so they have a Vegas style room, probably similar to the one at Monmouth, with you know, TVs all over and the sports ticker going on the top with all the scores, and so you can, you know, watch football and basketball and bet the races at the same time. It was pretty cool. And then one of the things they're talking about doing, which is kind of interesting, is, as you know, because of the climate, they have Laurel's has the, you know, the glass that you have to look through if you're inside dining and looking out. They're thinking about putting in retractable glass, something like a garage door, where it would come up, and you know, on warm days you could lift the glass up. So I can imagine when that goes in, it'll be ultra modern then. Like you could have had the glass up there on like opening the roof. It would have been a perfect day for that on Saturday. So you know, new technology, I guess they can do that. But that's one of the things they're looking into, is being able to have a little open air. I mean, there's nothing like you know, feeling the air in your face when it's warm enough for that. So. Continual improvements there. Obviously, probably looking ahead to try and lure a Breeders' Cup there. There were some Breeders' Cup officials there. Drew was there. Drew Fleming and a couple other people were there and taking in the sights. And everyone that hadn't been there in a while, like me, was impressed with what they saw. But now we're in Louisville for some real business here. So it's. They got me. I'm in the inner sanctum here in the Breeders' Cup trailer in a closet in a corner office here with the door closed because it's pretty quiet out there as they're accepting the entries for today's pre-entry day. The entries are due by noon local time here, and from all sources out there, they're running down a few guys, but everyone that was supposed to enter was pretty much in. So they're looking for, you know, probably be a record number of entries. Of course, with through in the extra race, there'll be 14 races this year. So they're looking to try and get close to 200 entries. And so far, so good, from what I understand.
Rick, give everybody the way in which the fields assemble, the ones that will be overflow, and there's winning you're in, and then there's the points, and then there's committee preference. Explain how a full field, an overflow field, will assemble when you guys sit down tomorrow.
Okay, So it's a fairly simple process to talk about, not quite as simple to get done, and I'll explain what I mean by that. So there's a committee of eight international racing people. There's four from, five from here, including Steve Blim from Woodbine, Martin Panza from NYRA, myself, PJ Campo from the Strana Group, Ben Huffman, who is the racing secretary here at Churchill and Keeneland. So those are the five domestic, you want to call it, domestic participants. And then we have the three handicappers, Gary O'Gorman from Ireland, Dominic Hill from England, and Eric Leguine from France. So they join in, whether they're here physically or on Skype on a big screen TV. Those are the eight of us that sit down in the room. Tom Robbins is the head of the committee. He's kind of, you know, keeps things in order. And so our job is the overfilled races, obviously. If their race doesn't overfill, there's no selection needed, and we move on. So this year we're looking at, you know, they can't give me the numbers or anything yet, but we're looking at maybe 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and maybe 7 or 8 overfilled races, most of the turf races, possibly the classic, possibly the juvenile, and like I said, most of the turf races. So when there's more than the allotted number, which is generally 14, 12 in some instances, then we have to go to work. And it will start at 7 o'clock tomorrow morning. We'll get our information today after the entries are done. And we will go to work, and it's not as easy as it sounds. So half the job is done. So if there's 14, let me explain that. If there's 14 runners, I mean, in other words, we're going to run 14, and let's say there's 20 entries. 7 of the 14 are already determined. They're already in, and they're in by two ways. One is if they want to win in your in race, which obviously makes them in. And let's just say there was 4 win in your in winners. So that leaves three other spaces that get the automatic in, and those go to the highest point earners. And when I say point earners, there's all the graded races throughout the country are given points. And for grade ones, you might get 10 to win, 10 for, and these numbers aren't necessarily correct, but you get the idea. 10 to win, 8 to run second, 6 to run third. Then the grade twos might be 8 to win, 6 and 4 down the line. So all through the year, horses can gain points. And obviously the reason for that is to try and get, people to participate, in their division throughout the year and make it worthwhile at the end. So the next 3 point getters, along with the 4 winning or in horses, would make 7, half the field. Those guys are in regardless. Case closed, don't even have to look at their records or PPs, they're in. So then, after that, regardless of how many points you have or what you have, you all go. Everybody goes into the same jar, so to speak. So if there's 7 in, there's 13 horses left to fill out, which means 7 get in, and then the others are on the also eligible list. They don't just go on a list; they go on a list in order. So we'll sit down around the table and go down to some of the obvious ones. Okay, I think this horse should be in. We all agree. Okay, he's in. And then sometimes we'll start at the bottom. I don't think this horse should be in. Okay, we'll put him out. And we'll have a big chalkboard up there, and we'll go back and forth. And the first usually 10 to 11 horses that get in is pretty agreeable. And then comes a lot of discussion going on to the next 3 that get in, and then the order of the also eligible list. As you know, a lot of the turf horses are, in fact, they're expecting about 40 Europeans here, which is could be a record here for Churchill Downs. So obviously, the European handicappers come in with their opinions there, and unlike here, I mean the three gentlemen that I mentioned, their job is to handicap horses. That's their job. Unlike myself and most of the other ones, we work at tracks and we run the racing department and involved in a lot of other things. Their entire job is to follow the horses, handicap them, and rate them. When I say rate them, every horse that runs. number, then every horse gets a number within that race. So they're very rating-oriented, and obviously when we're looking at some European horses and some races that we might not be so familiar with here, that's where they come into play and fill us in on, you know, who is good and how much of a rating the race got. And so then we'll do a little bit of a you know, discussion on, you know, should this horse be in over that horse? Well, we might have won a grade three over here in America, but might have been second in a grade one over in Ireland. And, you know, they'll tell us, oh, that race wasn't that good this year, so go ahead and use this horse. So a lot of discussion. And you think it would take 15, 20 minutes a race. I'll tell you, if we have seven or eight races at Overfield, we'll start at 7 in the morning, and we'll be lucky to be out of there by 6 o'clock at night. And so it's a long day, but it's fulfilling in the fact that we walk out of there that we did the right thing. And we'll sit and argue over 15 and 16, which horse should be 15 and which horse should be 16, knowing that if there's a couple of horses that don't run, that this horse should get in over that horse. So it's an enjoyable day. I enjoy sitting with these guys. They're, you know, everyone's into what they're doing, and very serious stuff goes on, and you wonder why it takes so long sometimes. And, you know, take a break, walk around the block a little bit, come back and continue to get it done. But, you know, there's nothing fancy about it. You know, we'll watch replays. We'll do everything it can to try and see if a horse deserves in a particular race over another horse. Many times it'll come down to, let's say a turf sprint. Let's just use that. And many times it'll come down to horses that are purely turf sprinters over another horse that might have a little more class, but it's just dropping in from, you know, another division just to say they can get in the Breeders' Cup. We like to honor the horses that were participating in the division in which they're entering in the Breeders' Cup. So that sometimes that plays into effect. But it's just a good old-fashioned sit-down. It's almost like a jury room type of situation if anyone's been in one of those, and arguments are heard. We vote, and then we re-vote, and then we vote again. So that's how it's done.
Always, you know, we do this off and on almost every year because there's people that wonder and had a question. In fact, yesterday, someone trying to understand the winning you're in and why a horse wouldn't be able to take advantage of the winning you're in, or why they still have to pay. I mean, even if you are winning you're in, if you are not an individual horse that was nominated for Breeders' Cup, this is why last Friday I reminded everybody, or last Monday I reminded everybody on the 15th, $400 that gets the horse nominated for the course of its life as a Breeders' Cup participant, and the stallions have to be as well. They have to be registered as Breeders' Cup stallions. And so that's how some horses that might have gotten winning urines still need to be supplemented. And that system has, the amounts have changed over the years. It used to be different prices, but it, you know, it still remains. You have to be Breeders' Cup nominated to take advantage. And then there's the matter, Rick, of the horses that might have won a certain winning urine race but aren't going to participate in the race they got the win and you're in for. And Whitmore, for instance, is one where if you don't take your chit from the win and you're in, you're still going to have to you know, pay for your entry fee.
You pay for the difference. They changed that around. I believe you can
part
use
of it.
That part of it. Right. Correct. You know, that's why when the winning you're in first came around, 10, 12 years ago, you got an opportunity to run, meaning you had the first opportunity to run, but you still had to pay. That you know, it was finally decided that really didn't make sense to call it a winning you're in. You didn't really get anything from it because chances are if you won that certain race, you're probably going to get in anyway. So now you do have your fees paid, which is huge. And I think there'll be some more strategic scheduling of winning your in races starting if you win those big races, pretty much you're going to make it in anyway. I mean, so the quote winner you're in, not as exciting. But if you were to have a win in your in race, say in May or something like that, now all of a sudden it's like, hey man, I can win this race and then kind of take my time the rest of the year and get things done. So I don't think that it's too dramatic by winning your in race in September, where it might be more. I guess you might see some rescheduling of some of those races earlier in the year.
Well, lots of work to come, and 11:30 Wednesday, Rick, release on the pre-entered fields. Yeah,
okay.
11:30 Wednesday.
Don't ask me before that, because I'm not a leaker. But
I love it.
Anyway, it's funny. So yeah, we'll finish it Tuesday night, and then they prepare. I think they have the European press conference in 4:30 in the morning here or whatever, and let them know, and it all works. So Wednesday, and the PPs will hopefully be ready Wednesday night, and that gives a full 9 days or 8 or 9 days to get ready and go. And then the post position draw, I believe, is a week from today, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
And then you'll have the post positions to go by, but they'll let you know who's in the races on Wednesday morning. That's correct.
Yep. It's a beautiful day. That much closer.
I hope it's like this in a couple of weeks. If it is, it's going to be great. But we're back on the backside by the Track Kitchen. Where the Breeders' Cup tent is, their trailers are, and when you look, you get that look over at that grandstand, when it's empty like that, and boy, it's ready to be filled. It's going to be a good day, a good couple of days of racing here, that's for sure. And this town gets ready for it like no other one does. It's already signs in the airport and everything else, so it's getting cranked up.
Now, Rick, I'm glad we were able to catch up with you. You traveled on Friday, and we will see you as early as Saturday morning.
Well, I'll be back. I'm going home. I'm not staying here the duration.
You're going to go home and come back?
I'm going to go home on Wednesday. We still got we're still running a meet out there, and then
that's true. You still got back Thursday, maybe, or
I don't think I could handle 2 weeks here, to tell you the truth. If I was going to stay, I'd probably sneak out the back door and go somewhere else. But I'm going home for a while.
In fact, before you go, I was asked. Somebody asked this morning. You guys aren't running Thursday of Breeders' Cup week at Santa Anita.
Correct. We're closing with the. Just a 3-day week. We just thought that Thursday was kind of, so we were going to go out with a bang with Friday, Breeders' Cup Friday, Breeders' Cup Saturday, and then our own final day on Sunday. That is correct. 3 days to end it.
Okay. All right. Because somebody asked about that, and I wanted to throw it by you. Excellent. Well, good luck tomorrow, and looking forward to those fields, the pre-entries, and we can get down to business starting Wednesday night.
Yes, we will. All right, perfect, and we'll probably talk again on Friday morning. Thanks a lot, Steve.
Hammer, thanks so much. Rick Hammerly, everybody. Away they go on Twitter, and away they will go. 11:30 on Wednesday. We're going to listen in as they lay out the pre-entries. We'll take a break, probably our last of the morning. John Hennigan is going to join us, and away they go with the docuseries that John and Brad, the Hennigans, have been taping, Breeders' Cup, all in the Road to the Classic. Watch today. You can start probably watching, I'm sure, by now even. And, in fact, debuting at noon. First episode. And a lot of the major classic participants. We'll find out how it all came together and what the Hennigans, they do this like nobody. Makers of First Saturday in May. John Hennigan, next.
The latest. latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
The Breeders' Cup is just around the corner, and ExpressBet is your way to bet the top prep races from around the world. Santa Anita, Keeneland, Belmont, Woodbine, ExpressBet has them all. And not only can you get your bets in online or on your smartphone or tablet with ExpressBet, you can also watch the races from most tracks in crystal clear high definition. Ready to get started? Sign up for an ExpressBet account today to receive a $500 welcome bonus. That's $500 cash in your pocket that you can use to bet the Breeders' Cup. Visit ExpressBet.com to get started. Think you have what it takes to play in the Breeders' Cup Betting Challenge and win your share of $1 million in prizes? Then head to ExpressBet to register. The BCBC is the country's biggest live handicapping tournament with ExpressBet. You can get in on the action without leaving home. Don't have an ExpressBet account? No worries. Sign up today and receive up to a $500 welcome bonus. Check out ExpressBet.com to learn more. Must be 18 or older and 21 in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet LLC and reside in a state where such activity is legal. When prohibited, National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard, too.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
There's more good news about Pennsylvania's breeding program. Last year, the number of state-bred live foals rose by nearly 30%. Many other states saw a drop of between 10 and 20%. This says that Pennsylvania truly has North America's fastest-growing and most lucrative breeding program. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back. Got about a little under 15 minutes to close out this morning, and we'll spend it with John Hennigan, the Hennigan brothers, the geniuses behind First Saturday in May and so much other videography and documentary and you name it, the go-to for the racing industry when it comes to this kind of work. And in about 13 minutes on Facebook, you'll be able to watch the first episode of All In, The Road to the Classic, an original Breeders' Cup docuseries. John, good morning.
Steve, thank you so much for having me. It's always a pleasure to be on your show.
Not at all. This was announced sometime, I guess, late summer. I saw the first missive on it and been kind of waiting and looking forward. Explain what the concept was and who's involved and how it came about.
Yeah, so it's a collaborative project between, my brother, Hennigan Brothers Creative, which is my brother and I, it's our production company, and Bobby Plays Rock Shrimp Production. Bobby's, extremely passionate about the game, as I think a lot of fans of your show know. And, the Breeders' Cup, had been very anxious to start producing original content, and it was just like a perfect marriage that the three of us all got together. Breeders' Cup kind of connected the dots. And, Yeah, you know, we just, I don't think we tried to do anything too difficult. It was just like, let's show people the road to the Breeders' Cup Classic via the great Win in Your Inn races throughout the summer that they televise and the summer and the fall. So we've just been on the road at all these different great prep races, starting with the Stephen Foster in June at Churchill Hills and Churchill Downs, and leading up to the Breeders' Cup Classic coming up just in a couple of weeks here.
So how many episodes are in the can to roll out between now and Breeders' Cup, like as we get closer to next week?
Yes. So episode one, as you said, is going to premiere on Facebook Watch in like 11 minutes. So what everybody, the easiest way to follow everything is go to the Breeders' Cup Facebook page. All the episodes are going to premiere on Facebook Watch. But just to keep it simple, everyone should go to the Breeders' Cup Facebook page. They're also going to be available on the Breeders' Cup YouTube page. But Facebook Watch is a great business relationship that the Breeders' Cup cultivated. And Facebook has unveiled many shows, including Tom versus Time, the Tom Brady webisode.
Oh,
series.
Yeah.
I don't know if people have seen that. That's one. And they unveiled Bubba Wallace. If people are NASCAR fans, they did a follow doc series on Bubba Wallace called Behind the Wall. And now we've got All In, the road to the classic, horse racing getting its due. So we're really excited about it. We've worked very hard. Like I said, with Bobby's Rock Shrimp Productions production team, we have in addition to my brother and I, we have another great executive producer named Shelly Schultz that's come in. We work together, and we're still working right now. So noon today is the first episode, and then episodes 2 through 5 will all be available tomorrow.
Oh, so it's almost okay. It's almost like the way Netflix and Prime and so forth and Hulu, the way they make everything available. So a splashy premiere coming up. And if you go, in fact, I just pulled it up. If you go to, here's the address, facebook.com/roadtotheclassic. And once you do that, if you hit follow, you'll then get, you'll get stuff on your Facebook feed. I'll send this link out on Twitter as well. I mean, how long are each episodes?
They're all approximately, I would say, about 18 minutes. So you're getting, it's nice fare. One of the things, once again, the Breeders' Cup wanted to do was, we have so many great stories in horse racing, and there's a lot in print, but there's not as many in video form, and that's what my brother and I have been doing over the last 12 years, is telling these type of stories of all sports. But one of our big passions is obviously horse racing, so we're just excited to take everybody to all these different great races and show the path to the classic on November 3rd at 5 p.m. I mean, that's where it all comes to a head. And there's some just great storylines. I mean, obviously we are extremely saddened about the passing of Rick Violette. I mean, I'm sure you've discussed it, and he's a great guy. And off the racetrack, everything he did for all the employees at NYRA but he is in the series with Diversify. It's a bittersweet day. We're very proud and happy that this is happening, but the loss of Rick is a gut punch. And we just like to see it as a tribute to him that we feel very lucky and honored that we were able to follow him with one of his greatest horses, Diversify. Rick is a part of this, and as we said, episode one starts with the Stephen Foster, and had a lot of great stories in there, from Ken Ramsey to a trainer named Brendan Walsh and Wes Hawley, guy down at Churchill Downs that we feature, as well as Doug O'Neill, you know, the West Coast powerhouse with his brother Dennis. And, you know, just once again, telling these great stories about the great owners, trainers, horsemen, connections, and, you know, trying to bring horse racing into this next phase of its promotion by just having content. We feel like this is the first step, is to keep being able to continue this great content. You know, when we did First Saturday in May, we were releasing it in theaters. Do you remember that? I mean, it was,
yeah,
that was a huge pain. There wasn't all this Facebook, webisodes, Netflix.
That's,
you know,
true.
I sound like an old
That's
man,
true.
But like, it's really like so much has changed, and it's great because, you know, you can watch this on your iPad, your laptop, your phone, and it's global, you know, and this is our first foray into it, but this, you know, we're hoping this is successful enough to continue and do this all year round and take this global.
But, and John, for next week, after the pre-taped, these first five pre-taped episodes, how much will come out during the lead up, the days leading into Breeders' Cup? Is there going to be some, you know, some either live editions or
yeah,
next day,
yeah,
or how much next week or the week after Breeders' Cup week itself? How much of this is going to be available?
So great question, Steve. Episode 6 will be on Breeders' Cup Friday, and that will include everything that's happened leading up to and including the draw. So we will be at the draw to capture that drama.
Got it.
And kind of
on Monday
put a bow on everything and get it to our great post-production team to get that so it's ready to roll out on that Friday. So, you know, you will be able to see what these guys are, you know, the different trainers and owners' reactions to what's happening that week on the Friday before the Breeders' Cup. And then after, you know, we will be there obviously covering it. And then over Thanksgiving, we will release, I don't know the exact date yet, but Thanksgiving weekend, we will do episode 7, which will cover the actual Breeders' Cup Classic. And I mean, the great thing about this, and once again, I don't need to tell the viewers and your listeners everything they already don't know, but, like, you know, when they have traditional series like this, you know, it's usually two teams at the end in the championship game. One's going to win.
Right.
And one's going to lose. This, you know, it's a roulette spin. Anybody can win this race, you know, and we're going to be on, you know, a couple of the people we've been following. I mean, we've been lucky enough to be on Uriah St. Louis with Discreet Lover, Chad Summers and Mind Your Biscuits, Jonathan Thomas, Bob LaPenta and Catholic Boy.
Nice.
You know,
nice.
The O'Neill brothers and Paul Redham with Pavel, you know, Costa Hironis and John Sadler with Accelerate. So it's, you know, it's exciting. It's been an incredible ride here, but, you know, it's going to be worth it to share this product with all the great loyal racing fans out there. And it's time that
wow,
they get, you know, content that we can all enjoy. So hopefully people like it. We, you know, we're digging it. So,
well, they'll be able now, 3 minutes away from the launch here, and I put the link up on Twitter for everybody. But if you want to go direct, facebook.com/roadtotheclassic, and then hit follow, and you'll get prompts for the rest of the episodes and as they get released and next week. And in terms of John and Brad Hennigan picking out the right horses and people to follow, obviously you can't get everyone, but when it came to First Saturday in May, they proved pretty adept because of the ones they started to follow, they ended up with a hatful of them in the Derby, including Barbaro. And if you've never seen First Saturday in May, you after you watch Road to the Classics debut here, pull up First Saturday in May as well, and you'll absolutely love it. The website's still live, right? FirstSaturdayInMay.com?
Yeah, I think so. I'll probably need some updating. But
but they can watch. You can watch it. It's online.
It's on iTunes. You can get it on iTunes. I know. We got to figure that out
there
now and get it on like one. You know, once again, these streaming services. Like it used to be on Netflix, but then they got rid of IndieDocs. But Hulu now has a bunch, so we're trying to figure out where to put it. But if you want to get it, you can go to iTunes.
Excellent.
Get it for pretty cheap, I think. Yeah.
Nice. Well, John, we'll see you in Louisville. I appreciate this.
Steve, thank you so much for having me. And, yeah, we appreciate all your fans going to check it out on Facebook Watch. And, you know, the Breeders' Cup has done a great thing here. And, you know, we're very thankful to them and to Bobby and his production company. Just a great partnership. And, you know, hopefully this is the first of many of these so we can, you know, service our audience just like you do every day.
Awfully kind. John Hennigan and his brother Brad, the Hennigan brothers. You can follow Hennigan Brothers on Twitter as well and get immediate knowledge of everything they're doing because they've got a wonderful history of production and starting with First Saturday in May and now literally in 60 seconds the launch, episode one of All In, Road to the Classic, Breeders' Cup. We're on the road as well. We will come back to you tomorrow. We want to thank today's tributes to Rick Violette from Alan Foreman, Rich Migliori, and Dave Grenig. Tomorrow, Pat Kelly, Charlie Hayward, Joe Applebaum, and more, plus Gordon Elliott to talk about his win on Saturday with jury duty in the Grand National. Andy Serling, too, tomorrow. And I'll get you caught up on everything else that went on, including at Remington and Laurel and Santa Anita and Keeneland. Good luck today if you're playing. Talk to you tomorrow at the races.
Racing news.
It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
The Breeders' Cup is just around the corner, and ExpressBet is your way to bet the top prep races from around the world. Santa Anita, Keeneland, Belmont, Woodbine, ExpressBet has them all. And not only can you get your bets in online or on your smartphone or tablet with ExpressBet, you can also watch the races from most tracks in crystal clear high definition. Ready to get started? Sign up for an ExpressBet account today to receive a $500 welcome bonus. That's $500 cash in your pocket that you can use to bet the Breeders' Cup. Visit ExpressBet.com to get started.
Think you have what it takes to play in the Breeders' Cup Betting Challenge and win your share of $1 million in prizes? Then head to ExpressBet to register. The BCBC is the country's biggest live handicapping tournament with ExpressBet. You can get in on the action without leaving home. Don't have an ExpressBet account? No worries. Sign up today and receive up to a $500 welcome bonus. Check out ExpressBet.com to learn more. Must be 18 or older and 21 in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet LLC and reside in a state where such activity is legal. When you're prohibited, National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard, too.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
There's more good news about Pennsylvania's breeding program.
Last year, the number of state-bred live foals rose by nearly 30%. Many other states saw a drop of between 10 and 20%. This says that Pennsylvania truly has North America's fastest growing and most lucrative breeding program. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.